Hello, folks. It's the Ken Dog here with another edition of the Dogcast, providing you with, hopefully, what I consider to be the best movie reviews in the business. A little bit of hubris on my part, but hey, go big or go home. This week, we've got a couple of brand new ones, and we're going to start off with Woody Allen's latest. This is Café Society. This is one of those films that is light in every sense of the word. I'm not a big Woody Allen fan, and most of my friends, family, and anybody who listens to the show knows that, but I'm more disinclined toward him as an actor as opposed to a filmmaker, and I've liked his most recent output, Midnight in Paris, Blue Jasmine, Magic in the Moonlight, things of that nature. And this one I liked but not loved. This is one of those movies that is so light on its feet, it's hard to care about anybody for any length of time. This is from a script by Woody Allen, and he also directs. And it takes place in the wonderful eras of the golden age of Hollywood, the wonderful era of the 1930s. And his surrogate in this one is Jesse Eisenberg's Bobby Dorfman, who comes out from New York to find fame and fortune in Hollywood. And his guide through this is going to be his uncle, Phil Stern, played very well by Steve Carell. Now, eventually, he gets into Steve Carell's Phil Stern's good graces and is able to work his way up to script reader. And along the way, he meets the lovely Vonnie, who is played by Kristen Stewart, in a performance that will make you forget about those dead-eyed Twilight movies. She's actually a fine actress when she has material to work with, and this is an example of her really shining in this film. They fall in love, they fall out of love. They move to separate coasts. There is a love triangle involved. Eventually, Bobby becomes the runner, if you will, or the operator of a nightclub owned by his older brother, Corey Stoll's Ben, who is very much a gangster, and ends up marrying Blake Lively's character. They go in and out of the process of, you know, name-dropping and dealing with unrequited love. There are times when Vonnie re-enters his life, and Ben has to deal, or not Ben, I'm sorry, Bobby. I get him confused sometimes. Bobby has to figure out who he's happier with, but it's never done in any sort of deep and meaningful manner. Instead, it's more along the lines of, okay, this is karma or fate, let's move on. There's just too much of a light touch in hand here. I love the recreation of the golden age of Hollywood, much in the same way I love the way the Coens did it in Hail Caesar. But in this particular case, it's all window dressing. It's entertaining window dressing, but it's all window dressing. The lightness extends to the sadistic violence perpetrated by Ben. Corey Stoll's character is a sadistic thug and brute, yet his murders and his beatings go by almost as a punchline. Unfortunately, a punchline to not a very funny joke. Now, that said, Woody Allen's worst in terms of his directing is better than a lot. And even I, not as a fan of his on-screen work, can admit that. And he gets great performances out of Eisenberg, Stewart. Blake Lively is in there far too little. Steve Carell is really good. Parker Posey. Ken Stott, who is probably best known as one of the dwarves in the Hobbit movies, does a great job as his dad. That kind of thing is, all of the performances are spot on. They're just not deep. And so if you like kind of a lighter Woody Allen, both thematically and dramatically, Café Society is a really easy way to spend an afternoon, and another way to avoid all those wonderful explosions and such that seem to permeate the summer box office nowadays. So that one I'm giving 3.5 out of 5. Yeah, 3.5 out of 5 on the old Barkometer. Check it out if you'd like. It's playing at the Tower in Sacramento or at any other art house theater in whatever city you happen to be living in. Check it out, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. Our next film is the big one of the week. And this one is Suicide Squad from David Ayer. This is the first DC Warner Brothers movie not directed by Zack Snyder, which seems to be thrilling fans to no end. Unfortunately, my colleagues are ravaging this right now. On Rotten Tomatoes, it's got a 27 or 26%, which is about the same score Batman vs. Superman got earlier in the year. Now, my humble opinion is that there's a lot of good going on in this movie. This movie is about a bunch of villains, some of them supervillains, that are engaged by a government agent, Amanda Waller, played with almost, if she had a mustache, she'd be twirling it, Relish by Viola Davis. She is the head of the government Argus, which is kind of like DC's version of S.H.I.E.L.D. They basically run the whole super covert operation thingy for the DC universe. In this particular case, Waller decides to bring out the worst of the worst to do some good, and they call it Task Force X. Let me try that again. Task Force X. And it's led by Rick Flagg, who is played by Joel Kinnaman, most notably of the RoboCop remake. And he is out-and-out soldier, and he's charged with keeping these bad boys in line. And they include Jai Courtney's Captain Boomerang, Jay Hernandez's Diablo, who can control fire, Adewale Akinnoye Agbaje, I think I got that right, as Killer Croc, who's half-man, half-crocodile. You also have Harley Quinn, the wonderful Margot Robbie, who is best known as the demented sidekick slash girlfriend of the Joker. And you also have Deadshot, who is played by Will Smith in this case. And he is an assassin who never misses, but he is basically only doing it for his little girl. They all are in prison at the time. They're rounded up and sent on a mission to basically save the city and, by extension, the world. Now, based on the trailers, you'd think this would be a wonderfully anarchic riff on the superhero genre a la Deadpool. Fox did so well earlier this year. And you would be wrong. Unfortunately, this is more kind of by the numbers than you might think. The villains in the piece don't really... they have enough of a backstory where they're not really villains at all. And that's unfortunate because, you see, the idea is to embrace the villainy. Part of what made Deadpool so good is that they were true to the character all the way through. He's not a nice guy, and they embrace that. And in that particular, they still managed to make him empathetic, but still not betray the character to some soft-hearted love story type of thing. Now, there's a love story involved in Deadpool, of course, but it's different. And, again, still true to the character. In the case of Suicide Squad, too many characters, not enough time for everybody. The ones who fare the best, Will Smith's Deadshot, doing what he does best. He gets some of the best lines, and his character is one of the more relatable because of his connection with his little girl. Margot Robbie kills it as Harlequin, especially in her scenes, flashback scenes with the Joker, played with Manic Menace by Jared Leto. But she doesn't fare quite as well with the team because some of the jokes that they give her fall kind of flat. She still nails the character, though, and I would love to see a movie just with Harley Quinn. She's great. But guys like Killer Croc, guys like Diablo, who has a backstory, but it's somewhat truncated. Jai Courtney's Boomerang is comic relief. Cara Delevingne plays June Moon slash the Enchantress, who happens to be in love with Rick Flagg. And she has an interesting look, but not enough to do. And that seems to be the problem. Everybody is fighting for screen time, and only Margot Robbie and Will Smith really get to the meat of it. And Amanda Waller, who is, there's way too much of in the movie. Yes, she's a badass, I get it. She is going to kill everybody who gets in her way, I get it. But too much government, too much exposition, too much telling, not showing. The action sequences are pretty good, but there's nothing really revolutionary about them. And Ayer directs with almost working man-like efficiency. The finale is pretty decent, but again, not enough character development to make you care all that much. It's in line with the theatrical cut of Batman vs. Superman. Good, but not great. I think people may be disappointed because they were expecting so much better. I don't think it's as bad as the critics are saying. It's not a mess. It just needs a little better editing and a little more show and a little less tell. And a tighter script would help, too. David Ayer also co-wrote the script, so he bears a little bit of the blame for it. Now, I've been hearing rumors of studio interference, but that said, this isn't a bad weekend at the movies. I just think everybody who is looking so forward to it should probably temper their expectations. And in that, I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5 on the Barkometer, because, again, it's decent. Could be a lot better, but it could have been a lot worse. So check those two out at the theaters this week. And next week, we'll be talking other movies involved. There's a new one from Meryl Streep and a couple other releases we're going to check out. Always check out my shows. I'm on the Pat Walsh Show every Friday night from 9 to 10, and I also have my own show 3 to 4 on AmericaMattersMedia.com, or America Matters Media, excuse me, let me say that again. Check that out over internet streaming, and always visit my site for a bunch of new stuff. Again, enjoy your weekend at the movies, and we will talk to you next week on the latest edition of the podcast.